It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I was wearing a pair of Crocs.
With like Crocs and stuff.
I was Crocsing it. I have an old pair in the garage, and I said if I'm going to commit to mulching, I'm going to wear...
Shorts or no?
Shorts, Crocs, and mulch.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive continues now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Game 5 tonight of the Cup Final in Pitt. Bobby Mack will join us from Pittsburgh in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll tee up the game with him. A lot of pressure on Phil Kessel to perform tonight, and I'm a fan of that. Whenever the spotlight is on Phil, you're guaranteed entertainment value.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Because even if he struggles, that means the cameras will be on him on the bench, and he'll be doing his thing, and the antics will be coming out.
Yeah.
And if he scores like an OT winner, maybe he's got another interview with Pierre Maguire post-game.
Legendary status if he scores.
He can wiggle away from the media like no other. I don't know who said it last night on SportsCenter, but they were like, Phil hasn't actually talked to the media.
Yeah. And like since like media
since like
day,
game
the first
one
day
or whatever, he's just. I'm like, this guy just.
Well, here's why: because he did actually come out yesterday, I believe. Because at some point, you know, someone requested him, like, "Can we talk to Phil?
Right?
Can Phil please come out and give us some time? Because we want to ask him how he feels about Malkin putting the spotlight on him and the fact that he hasn't scored yet, and this is the most you're ever going to get out of Phil Kessel."
Yeah, it's getting close. It's getting closer. You know, I think I always get a chance or two, and you know, you just gotta make them count.
That's why Phil doesn't talk, because he doesn't say anything anyway.
Yeah,
no one cares to talk to Phil. So anyway, we'll tee that up later in the hour with Bobby Mack. I think the NBA Finals will be concluded tomorrow night, and I said this to kick off the show at 4 p.m. I had a come to Jesus moment about halfway through the fourth quarter last night. Where leading into the game, I was openly rooting for Cleveland. Leading into the series, I was openly rooting for Cleveland because I'm a LeBron fan.
Correct.
I love everything that LeBron represents, and I find that he takes way too many shots for a guy of his stature, how well he plays, how well he handles the spotlight. So I was pro-Cleveland.
Right.
And going into last night, even more so, I was just pro-extended series, give me some entertainment value, give me some material for the 15 hours a week of radio we have to do. So I was hoping for 6 or 7 games. But halfway through the fourth, I started to think, I want Golden State to win. I'd rather witness history at this point. I'd rather see 16-0. Let me witness history. That's a higher priority for me right now. And I noticed that with like 5-7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Openly rooting for Golden State. And they outscore Cleveland 11-0. Going an 11-0 run to close out the game. Not only win, they covered the number. -3 going into the game, they win by 5.
I don't know if you've seen this, but Noodles showed it to me. Steph Curry's reaction to Durant's 3-ball.
Looks like he took a dump on the court. Did
I don't
see
know
that?
What,
people are so...
I don't buy it.
No.
I don't buy it. I think he was stretching his groins or...
What was he doing, the him and his range stretch?
That's the Chip Douglas groin stretch. That's what Chip would do before he got out.
Either way, like
and
it
played.
It looked funny, and I thought it was funny.
Not like a groin stretch to me.
But he says
a
couple things on that.
One,
Durant, that shot only put them up, I think, by a point, and there was a lot more to play. You're going to go into that kind of a routine,
right?
You really think that's what he was doing? Steph was saying, "We got you. It's over, and I'm going to."
I like the headline. It says, Steph Curry denies taking an invisible dump on the Cavs court. Like, that was the headline.
Imagine he confirmed the headline.
It's like, yeah, you know what? I wanted to troll LeBron, so I made it look like I took a dump on his side of the court.
That's one where even if it happened, you have to lie. J.R. Smith claiming hacked for his tweet after the game, where he tweeted out, or his account did, Cavs in 7. I still don't understand why he felt obligated to delete that or furthermore claim hacked on that. Like, why do you have to be like, dude, what do you think, I'm crazy here? You think I really believe we're going to win the series? Why wouldn't you? I think the whole team should jump on Twitter and every one of them should write Cavs in 7. Solidarity.
Everyone should have retweeted it.
Why wouldn't you want, like, at least give us the impression like you believe it's possible?
But he doesn't believe. That's the funny part about it. He's like, are you crazy? I wouldn't tweet that. Like, it was the worst tweet in the history of tweet. Like, he was so rattled.
What's dumber, the tweet or deleting it?
Deleting it. Deleting it and acting incredulous as if it's the most impossible thing ever considered.
I think it is right now, based on how things are going.
It probably is, but him writing Warriors in 4, you delete that and you claim hacked. Warriors in 4, I can understand, like, hey, wait a minute, dude. Like, don't be a goofball here. Let's pretend like we're playing for something. But Cavs in 7, why do you have to explain that?
I don't know.
What would be wrong
with that?
People
are always looking for it. Like I say, Steph Curry was asked in his media afterwards if he took an invisible dump on the court. So you know they're looking for storylines. Like, he actually had to answer that question.
What kind of answer were you hoping for?
What if he was like, yeah, I was trying to troll LeBron. I wanted to be a PG dump instead of me dropping my trout. I don't even know. But isn't that... Like, isn't that the world we live in? Like, a reporter actually asked him that question.
Our use of the word dump quota this week is way over the number.
I know. I think.
We have dropped... Well, Noodles in particular is good for 95% of the usage.
I don't know why I overuse it. And
I don't think that's an inappropriate word.
It's just, it treads a line. I said flies...
Noodles always say it. He always says it when it comes to Eric Lindros. He was like, in the day, Eric Lindros could have took a dump at center ice.
Yep. Could have just crapped himself right at center ice and... Their scouts would have said, wow, it's the greatest crap I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two players that in my generation that were like that. Trevor Kidd, who was a goaltender.
Trevor Kidd got that treatment? I don't remember
out
that.
Out west.
Wow.
So in the Western Hockey League, I'll never forget playing a game. I'm playing for the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Trevor Kidd's playing for the Brandon Wheat Kings. They were a terrible team. They lost like 9-0 one night. Trevor Kidd faced 81 shots that night. Our announcer, we're not even playing them. We're playing, our announcer announced it across the crowd in our building. The Brandon Wheat Kings lose 9-0. Trevor Kidd made 70, whatever it was, 72 saves tonight. Like, I'm like, who cares?
He gave up 9.
Yeah. That guy made the All-Star team as a 16-year-old as a backup. Kelly Hitchens was the starter.
He didn't go first overall. Like, was he in Lindros' draft?
He was a god for a goaltender out there.
I don't remember. I mean, you would know better than I. Clearly, I wasn't tracking the WHL.
He was a god for pulling a hammy before the shuttle run, too.
Really? I like Trevor a lot. Yeah. I think Trevor's an awesome guy. But I think that reeks a little bit of jealousy from me, because I'll never forget that night where I'm in the net trying to make some saves, and they're announcing that Trevor Kidd's, like, in a different building, made 70-some saves. And our goal scorer, I think, scored 50 that night, and that overshadowed our goal scorer did.
He had a cup of coffee with the Leafs. He played 2 years in Toronto, was the backup to Eddie Belfour, played 19 games in 2002-03, 15 in 2003-04. He went 11th overall in the 1990 draft.
He was a really highly touted goaltender, and he was a good goaltender, had a good career, and... Like I say, he's a great guy. He's a unique goalie, though. Like, would you describe him as, like, your stereotypical goaltender? A little bit different?
Well, I don't even know what his style was. He was...
You're talking about his persona.
I'm talking personality. Really good guy.
Do you know that there was another goalie that went in the first round that year?
What year?
Stefan Fisse.
1990. It's another goalie that went...
Ricky D.
The Cat.
9 picks after Trevor Kidd.
Felix Potvin.
No. Hold on. That was 1990?
1990. Don't look.
Jamie Storr?
No. We're talking, like, think big. Real big.
Bobby, no.
As big as it can get.
Marty Brodeur. Yeah, that's right.
Marty Brodeur went 20th to New Jersey.
After Kidd?
Trevor Kidd went 11th to Calgary. Marty Brodeur was the next goalie to go, 20th to New Jersey. Slightly different careers.
Yeah.
Slightly different.
A little bit.
But that's the gamble when you're drafting anybody, but especially goaltenders.
Think about it, though. Marty Brodeur goes to a team that's put together like that, and he has a Hall of Fame career, and I wonder if Trevor Kidd went to New Jersey. And
what his career would look like.
To, yeah.
Absolutely. Bobby Mack coming up. Let's revisit this Reggie Miller clip because you heard it this morning on Dan Patrick. It's been driving me nuts all afternoon. The fact that we're already changing our perception of Cleveland as if they're like a Cinderella team, right. Lucky to be there. Here's what Reggie Miller had to say on Dan Patrick earlier today.
These playoffs were terrible this year, and going forward are going to be a disaster unless another super team forms, because I just don't see how any team can beat the Golden State Warriors, because they have, like LeBron said, so much firepower, and it's almost like they're taking turns.
So now all of a sudden Cleveland isn't a super team.
Yeah,
they went 12-1 against the East. 12-1 against the East. They lost one game.
Are you sure he didn't mean another super team besides Cleveland?
I got the impression like he was talking, there's Golden State and then everyone else. Well, as if Cleveland is a part of everyone else.
I think Cleveland.
And that's bogus.
It is bogus, but if Golden State sweeps them, which we all think they will, you have to lump LeBron and those guys in there because Golden State just dummied everyone in the league and dummied LeBron and his crew, too.
Very true, but I think what it will do for me is only elevate Golden State even higher than where I had them to begin with.
Right.
I had them on a pedestal as clearly the best team in the league. That's not an original thought. Everyone thought the same.
Right.
But Cleveland is not Boston, Washington, Toronto, even San Antonio, Houston. They have the highest payroll in the NBA. They've been to the finals 3 years in a row. They just won a title a year ago. They've got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson, and they're loaded. They went 12-1. The one game they lost was to Boston. At one point in that game, I think they were leading by 25, and they lost on like a miracle Avery Bradley shot with no time left.
Yep.
They could have easily been 12-0 as well. That's what we were talking it up as.
Well, that's
12-0 against 12-0. Superpower against superpower. But now it's not the Cold War anymore. It's not the States versus Russia. We're supposed to pretend like it's the States versus the Ivory Coast.
Right.
And it's not. I mean, Cleveland is a super team.
So what you're saying is stop it, Reggie.
Stop it. Stop pretending like they're not.
Right.
Or we can expect a team to be better than Cleveland. How are you going to build a better team?
If Golden State wasn't in the league, Cleveland would win the championship.
Right. Absolutely.
For fun.
For fun. Like, the way they played last night, they blow the doors off every other team in the league. LeBron and Kyrie combined for 77. Every other team in the league, they win by 20 last night. Golden State is just that much better. I mean, I'm not sure what you can do.
Yeah.
Not much you can do. All right, Bob McKenzie from the Cup Final will tee up game five with him tonight. How much pressure is on Kessel to perform? Which goalie has more pressure on them to perform tonight? And get his take on the Sammy Vatanen rumors out there. If Vatanen's available, how much would the Leafs be willing to pay for him? And how much of a fit would he be? I think we all agree it would be a pretty good spot for him. We'll see what Bobby Mack has to say about it. We'll get to that next. All right, Bobby Mack coming up live from Pittsburgh ahead of Game 5 tonight. I'm calling a good game. I called a good game in the NBA Finals last night.
Let's call one another.
I think we're long overdue. I mean, Game 4 was a fun game, entertaining game, quick pace. But I'm talking outcome.
I'll take that.
Right? Tie game in the third.
Mm-hmm.
It's been missing that. In Game 1, I guess it was close, but the game was so sloppy, no one was really paying attention. Let's head down to Pittsburgh now, catch up with our hockey insider, and it's brought to you by Finance. And here's Bob McKenzie. Are you craving a good game tonight, Bob?
Yeah, I think so. I think, too, as we get closer to the end here, I mean, now we're in Game 5, tied 2-2. The stakes are even higher. So I think both teams recognize that, and probably we'll get the effort according with that.
I can't picture a scenario where if Pittsburgh loses tonight, they win the Cup. I can picture a scenario if Nashville loses, they can still come back and win. So I guess what I'm saying is I think it's a must-win for Pitt tonight. How do you feel about where the pressure stands?
Yeah, I think that's the conventional wisdom. Just logic would suggest if Pittsburgh loses here tonight and has to go back into the madhouse in Nashville, that they'd be at a disadvantage and that Nashville could close things out. But we'll see. We're going to find out a lot about this Pittsburgh team tonight and where they are. I we know they're a good team, but are they a team that's out of gas? Are they starting to flag a little bit here? You know, we felt that way in the Washington series. They were really bad in Game 5 and Game 6, lost both games, came back and were wonderful in Game 7. Were they going to do the same sort of thing here after two losses? And quite frankly, I mean, they lost Game 4, but they created more high-quality scoring chances in that game than any of the four games, and they lost it. It's been kind of a weird series that way. The goalies, when they the goalies play bad and win and play good and lose, and you know, homer series as far as the goalies go are concerned.
Well, we've talked a lot about that today, like which goalie really has more pressure on them, because you look at the past two games, Murray's been the one that people have been focused on because he's been giving up a bunch of goals. But you look at Pecorine's history in Pittsburgh, and quite frankly, it's awful.
Well, he's 5-5 on the road in the playoffs, and he's 9-1 at home. I mean, I don't remember seeing such a pretty wide split as home and road as that for a goalie.
It really is. And Noodles, you're running off Pekka's numbers specifically at Pittsburgh, and they're even uglier than that.
They're not good. He's 485 goals against, 83 save percentage, and he's 0-5.
Not good, right?
It's not good.
Yeah, hey, it's not good.
Hey, Bobby.
There he is.
How's the vibe around Phil
there,
down there?
By his little mouse there.
Oh, yeah. He's just hanging out. Go ahead.
What is the vibe around our buddy Phil down there, Bob?
Man, has he been bad? I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, it's not even close. Like, you know, Malkin didn't play well in Game 3 and Game 4, but he had some real good plays and some real good goals in Game 1 and Game 2. Phil's been right out to lunch, you know, completely, utterly out to lunch. No redeeming qualities to his game at all. He's frustrated. He looks upset. Hasn't worked overly hard. Not getting the puck with speed through the neutral zone. When he's got the puck and he's trying to shoot, he's slow getting it off his stick. Shots are getting blocked. When he does shoot it, it's going wide. You know, hey, that's not to say he can't come out and be a difference maker tonight, but boy, we haven't seen it much in these playoffs, and we certainly haven't seen it in the final. He's by far of the big three on Pittsburgh. Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel, his play is decidedly, you know, 10 levels below those other guys.
I love when the target is on his back. I love it. I want a Phil camp tonight. I want to see him on the bench, because something's going to happen, right, Bob? If he's brutal again, he's going to have a meltdown on the bench, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if he's one of those ones where he comes out dancing and puts two or three in, and then he's going to be a big smile, and there we go. And then Bill from Central Pennsylvania will be calling in tomorrow.
Oh yeah, he'll be calling into the hotline. He's the only one with the numbers somehow, but he gets a hold of us. With Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, had a Game 5 tonight. The Insider Trading segment on SportsCenter and up on TSN.ca piqued the interest of a lot of Leaf fans yesterday because of our mutual buddy Pierre LeBrun reporting that Sammy Vatanen could be the guy available in Anaheim. And if that's the case, the Leafs would more than likely be showing interest. Where do you stand on that report and the idea of Vatanen being a fit with the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I could see where the Leafs would have interest in him. He fits the profile in terms of age and experience and skill level and the attributes that he's got as an offensive-minded, skating, puck-moving guy, power play ability. So, yeah, I think it makes sense. But I think I took the option on insider trading and didn't do it yesterday. I was working on draft preview stuff. But, you know, Pierre tells me that there's a lot of teams inquiring of Anaheim, and the Leafs are by no means necessarily at the front of the line or the only team, and that there'll be stiff competition for them. The price will probably be high, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Well, we were talking about how that would stack up their top four, and it clearly will not match what Nashville has, but Nashville's got four guys who can skate, who can move the puck, and are not your conventional stay-at-home, big, bruising defensemen. And if the Leafs were to acquire Vatanen, that would set them up with Riley, Vatanen, Gardner, and Zaitsev. Based on the way you know Babcock and his style of play, do you think he would be kind of pushing that idea? Like, let's go with this new-aged, puck-moving defense corps, as opposed to wanting someone like Josh Manson or a big, rugged-type stay-at-home guy?
Well, I think if you can combine the two, if you can find a bigger, still mobile, still offensively gifted, who can also defend. But no, I think it's whatever. I think Babcock's adaptable, and I think the sort of the new age approach, as you called it, that'd be fine by him. And you can mess around too. If you know, you saw where Babcock had a lot of use for a guy like Roman Polak, and that frustrates some people who think that the game should be entirely played by race horses who can all skate and be a threat to skate the puck up the ice or mobile puck handlers. But Babcock also does like to have somebody who's a defender and has some size to him. You've often hear him talk about what he likes best about some guys, and you know, 6'4" at the beginning of the night and 6'4" at the end of the night.
Right.
He kind of likes that, but you give him the option in terms of your top four. I mean, sure, of course you want Drew Doughty, but he's not available. So if he's not available, then you start to look for the Sammy Ratton or other guys of his ilk.
Enjoy it down there, Bob. We'll break it down early next week, and hopefully at that point we've got a cup finalist, and we'll see where the offseason takes us from there.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
There's Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for big dreams and everyday budgets.
Bobby didn't sugarcoat Phil's game. Red rotten, nothing, no redeemable qualities.
That's a hot tip, man. I like it.
Rick Tockett, didn't Tockett say that Phil needs his own reality show?
Would you watch that?
In a heartbeat. I think it would do massive, massive ratings.
What is he like? How does he frame it? Does he say like Phil Kessel needs his own like?
Well, we got the clip. You want to hear?
Let's hear it.
60-degree wedge. Hey, the camera just follows you, Phil. Keep you should have your own reality show. Yeah, I mean, the camera always follows Phil. I don't know why.
So I guess it was during practice. Somehow Rick Tockett was mic'd up, and they're talking golf and fit. What do you say? 60-degree wedge. And Phil came back. I think he said 55 something like that. 55. More like a 55-degree wedge. Apparently, Phil can play.
Oh yeah, you can tell he's just a talented athlete.
Yeah.
What would the show be called?
I don't know.
Getting filled.
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. I don't know.
Porno. I'm just saying. Like,
I love how both of our minds go
exactly.
Down the same road.
Like you're like always like, oh, that's a tough one.
No, you thought at first.
I did. I'll admit that sounds like something that might come out of Silicon Valley. I don't know how you would approach a Phil. The problem with that is Phil, I think, would fall into the trap of trying to perform or trying to be normal. Like,
no
hey.
Way.
I'm not going to do
it. And that would be such
a
gross misunderstanding for him because I don't think he understands how awesome it would be if he just was Phil.
But 2 weeks in, he'd forget that it was there and he'd be Phil.
I picture the first episode, him being aggravated that they're following him around.
Like, what's going on?
Like, leave me alone, guys.
Oh, my God.
That would be the best part of the show.
Yeah.
Phil's got his own show and he doesn't want his own show.
You
got
to watch Ed TV with Matthew McConaughey. It's so good. Like, it's kind of the.
I think I remember
the first
that
ever. It's like it for me. It was kind of the first ever reality TV. It's just a movie.
Like a mock show, a mock reality TV. Well, I think that like you know Seinfeld is a show about nothing.
Right.
I think that would be my pitch. It's a show about a guy who doesn't want the show.
Yeah.
That's the show.
I know.
So let me get this straight. No, he never wants you guys around him, and it aggravates him, and it agitates him, and
it'd be hilarious.
It'd be so funny. I think Phil in the off season would maybe be more funny though than Phil during the season.
The whole time.
Fishing trips with Bozy.
Just the good one, Randy. That still is like
good one, gooning.
Good one, Randy. Good one.
But even Randy's comments leading up to it, that's the best part about it because he's like, hey, the Bozy.
Bozy couldn't get you to the rink on time, Phil.
Good one, Randy. Good one.
Burn.
Such a bad joke too.
So funny.
God, did Randy think that was funny?
He laughed his ass off after that.
Oh, did he think that was funny?
Yeah, what a shot at Phil. The fact that he relies on Bozy to get him to the rink.
So funny.
I love that. Just, you talk about a laid-back atmosphere. They're late. And Phil's like, good one, Randy.
Good one, Randy. Good one.
Like, you wonder why that Fest Chuck piece came out.
Yeah.
Phil can show up whenever he wants.
I loved it.
Someone tweeting in, Matt tweeting in, getting thrills with Phil. I don't think that's going to work.
Wrong.
Phil's in the blank.
Phil's in the blank. The Phil Kessel Show. Anyway, I hope he performs tonight. I hope he plays well. I'm pro Phil. You know, like we've been over this a million times. The way it ended in Toronto, what went down in Toronto. But Phil's a likable figure.
And I think so.
I just want a good game. I don't care who wins. It makes no difference to me one way or the other. I want entertaining hockey. And I guess because I'm saying I think Pitt has to win tonight for this to be a series, well, or for them to win it, I'll say I want Pitt to win.
We never had a controversial call last game, which is, I mean, I thought there was a few soft non-calls, but outside of that, we didn't have to deal with a goaltender interference or a...
So you're saying we're long overdue?
I think we're overdue here.
For aggravation?
You're talking overtime to jinx me. I'm going to jinx you with an offside.
With a bad offside review.
Skate lace off the ice.
Yeah, you're probably right. Every game and a half, something pops up.
Yeah.
So if we avoided it somehow in game four, I would suspect it'll happen tonight.
I agree.
But I don't know. I mean, I think it's been, as I've been saying, I've been pretty consistent with this, kind of disappointing games in the moment. But 2-2, what more can he ask for? It's the opposite of what's going on in the NBA Finals, where that, I believe, will be a sweep. I think it'll end tomorrow night.
It's done.
I think Golden State will more than likely win big. And by the end of it, we'll walk away and say, okay, cool, 16-0, but we didn't get anything. We never. That's why people are amping up what happened last night so much, because we finally actually had a good game.
Right.
And I kind of hope that happens tonight. Give me something. I just don't want to see 5-1. I don't want to see a 3-goal lead with 10 minutes left. Because there's no point in watching the rest of the game.
What's the King Daddy topper for you? The 16-0? Or the miracle comeback by Cleve?
Man, they really would both be spectacular.
Wait, if Cleveland came back?
I think in terms of long-term, discussing it, 16-0 is more historic. 16-0 has never happened before. But in the moment, like we talk about, doing shows next week,
like if Cleveland storming back, just melted down.
That would be a massive in-the-moment story. In the moment, the material we would have next week, if it got to 3-1, then 3-2, then 3-3, and the pressure is back on Golden State
3-3
to close.
And a Kardashian's in the building.
Chloe would be in the building. I haven't seen her yet. I mean, maybe I missed it, but I haven't seen Khloe Kardashian.
I thought they broke up.
I thought they did too, but that was like reports that came out from who knows. I mean,
TMZ?
Probably.
Well, then if
I still blame her.
It's not even a Kardashian curse if she's not around.
It is. No, it's like the cover, man. You take the pick once, you're on the cover for the whole year, and regardless of what happens, even though you took the pick months ago, if you run into problems, it's the Madden curse.
All right.
And the same thing with Khloe Kardashian. Anytime you date a Kardashian, you're in trouble. Like, it's Kanye's 40th birthday today, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
So
I think that guy's such a weirdo.
Kim Kardashian is tweeting out, because they always have to let everyone know what they're doing for each other.
Right.
I guess, I don't know what the hell she did, but people are buzzing about Kim and Kanye and...
Who knows?
How they're going to celebrate. Dallas texting in, filibuster. One word title, filibuster.
That'd be pretty good.
I could do that.
Filibuster?
Yeah, like a play on words to filibuster.
You guys were just talking about yesterday power duos in pro sports and that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the most power duo in like Hollywood or in like power couple?
I don't know, man. It was Brangelina forever, right?
I know, but it's not Kanye and Kim. What is she? She's
a reality star.
Yeah.
But she's got clout, man. The Kardashians, we goof on them all the time. Clearly people support them.
Kidding.
And are fans of them and everything. They would be up there.
Steph said Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Brady and Giselle.
Yeah, that's a pretty good power couple.
J-Lo and A-Rod. I don't know.
Mike Fisher and...
Carrie Underwood.
It's pretty good. Like, do you think she sings the anthem? Game 6?
Game 6? I don't know. She's already been out there once. I think it kind of feel like it's a one-time thing. Like, she started this whole thing and now...
You think it's a Garth or something?
I think they got to amp it up and go big time, don't you?
Oof. Like, where do you go? Florida, Georgia Line?
They're too modern. Like, they seem to be going, like, deep, like, into the...
I know their manager pretty well. And he said they're unbelievable people. But you're right. They've kind of, like, stepped... They're not really country. They're kind of, like...
Well, who's the band that... a country band sang the anthem last night in Cleveland?
Oh, I'm
Rascal Flatts.
Oh yeah, Rascal Flatts. Yeah,
that's a pretty big band, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I never ever got your guys' intake on what's his name, Santana playing the guitar.
That's
the
his bass move, man. That's his move. Every year at Golden State,
he comes bombing up. I thought he clanked it out a little bit. Like, I thought he
did. There was a note that he
missed.
He missed, and he went down a different path.
I thought he fought. Because he looks so weird without the hat. He always has the hat on, and he's got the skullet. He's got the eye of Frady going.
But no one's going to say anything to Santana. He's a legend.
I thought he's not in your top five.
No, God, no.
But I thought he struggled a little bit. It wasn't a flea situation, but it was heading down the path.
We'll get to the three stars and best bets, and we should touch on this David Price story as well. It's caused a stir in Boston. It's the guy getting paid $217 million.
Wow. Yeah.
He's been injured. He's returned, and since he's been back, he's been pitching well, but he's had it with the media down there. We'll tell you about it. We'll get into it next. There he is, Santana. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by Proline. David Price on the mound tonight for the Sox. I'm taking them at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Dude, and I'm on Pittsburgh.
I wasn't even tired until you asked me if I was tired, and now I can't even keep my eyes open.
Well, Brian, you pointed something out, which is a true fact. The two of us ate like we were going to the electric chair, and then that was it. We hit the blood was rushing to the stomach.
You guys got after a meal.
I fought a yawn while we were talking.
I thought your neck was going to blow out. You were fighting that thing. Like it was a heavyweight fight.
I did. I fought it off because we were on TV and I wasn't sure if I was on the camera.
Right. Oh, I know what happened. You guys ate and then
got into the Swiss and then all hell broke loose.
All hell broke loose. And somehow I avoided eating and now I feel okay.
You're
I'm still kind of alive.
You're spry.
Anyway, I got Boston tonight. I got Pittsburgh tonight as well. Throw down 20 and you can score 58. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine, the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. I'm on Boston because I think David Price, he better perform tonight, man.
Yeah.
Because he signed that $217 million deal. And last year, it started rocky for him. By the end of the year, he had good numbers.
Yep, he was fine.
I think he had more innings pitched than anyone else in the American League and 3.99 ERA. So he performed up to the dollar amount, relatively speaking. I mean, how do you really perform up to $30 million? It's not easy, but that's the money that gets thrown around.
What spurred this discussion with him and the media? Did something...
He's taken heat in Boston because he didn't pitch well the first half of last season, and in the playoff game he pitched, he was awful. And he's got a history in the playoffs of being terrible.
Yes.
He went 3 1/3, gave up a bunch of runs, he was brutal. And remember, they lost to Cleveland. They got swept. So he's getting that kind of money, and he performs that way. And then he was injured this year to start the year, so I guess some people, I don't know if they took runs at him.
Right.
But it hasn't been easy for him because of the price tag and because of the city he's playing in. Boston, their expectations are unreasonable, quite frankly. That town, all they do is have championship parades. Every single year, they have a
he's yawning. I just fought a hard one.
He's yawning.
He fought a yawn. He didn't. You fought.
But you sewered me, so.
I'm trying not to, man.
Every year, Boston has a parade.
They generally have parades, so they're tougher on their athletes. And I think you've also got a situation here with Price. Starts his career in Tampa, nothing sports market. Right. He's the king of the county.
Well, I can imagine you, if one of the Blue Jays, Bautista said, I'm not talking to the media, every bad game he had, you would just carve him.
Especially if it came off as petulant.
Right.
I haven't read every piece coming out of Boston. So I don't know.
You make $30 million a year and you say you don't want to talk to the media, that is petulant.
It absolutely is. I haven't heard of any stories that came out where this guy, they were calling his mom or they were talking to his girlfriend or they were taking pictures of him at home or something like that.
Right.
It just seems like they've been critical of him and tough on him, and he doesn't like it because he's a laid-back guy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he starts in Tampa. He's a great pitcher. People probably leave him alone.
Right.
Goes to Detroit, and he had really good numbers in Detroit. He was also acquired at the trade deadline originally there.
Yep.
So they love that. Same thing in Toronto. When he came here, it was, oh, my God, I can't believe Price is a Blue Jay. He loves our popcorn. What a great guy.
Yeah.
No one said anything about David Price here. Now he's in Boston. He's getting paid this kind of money.
And
they're being tougher
athletes.
On him, and I don't think he can handle it.
No.
And I think it's proven because now he's saying, I'm done with
media. He better play well tonight.
Because the
articles and the hot takes and all of that, this guy is going to get destroyed.
Well, I guess he snapped on a reporter as well, like specifically at one guy.
This guy's an idiot. He gave him one of those.
Yeah, he kind of went Phil on him a little bit.
What does that mean, though, when a baseball player says, don't ask me anything personal? What does he mean about his life?
I think what he said was, when I'm pitching, I know I've got to talk to you guys. But beyond that, do not come to me. I'm not doing one-on-ones. I'm not going to, you can't pull me aside. If I'm not pitching, pretend I don't exist.
Really?
So he's clearly, he's venting here. He's not happy.
Right,
but
right.
But, dude, you're making $217 million.
Exactly.
You decided to go to Boston.
If I was the general manager or president of the team, I would go down there and say, actually, very funny.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can you represent us? We gave you that contract, and you're going to do this and represent the game?
Right.
No, thanks.
We need you talking, not all the time, and you don't have to love everybody or anything like that, but you've got to... What comes with that money is more than just the 33 starts a year.
Exactly.
You're representing the brand.
I agree.
And listen, I get it. Players hate on the media, and I understand it if you hate on certain media types.
Mm-hmm.
But painting the whole group of media with the same brush, can't picture a scenario where that would ever make sense for a player.
It's dangerous. That's what it is. It's dangerous because, like you say, you get to a point where you need those people... for the benefit of doubt sometimes. This is your livelihood. This is the way that buzz happens in a city. He's got to be careful.
That's well, you're never going to win that fight.
No, you're not.
Right? You're never... The media will be there. They were there long before you showed up. They're there long after you leave.
And this guy will... the guy who has the beef with him, this guy will go out of his way to shoot him up.
Dude, if he gets rocked tonight against the Yankees, they lost... To the Yankees last night.
Shreds.
Oh man! If he can't get out of the second or third inning,
yeah,
media can be very vindictive.
You're right.
Agree. They don't handle it well either.
My only thing with the media is I got torched one time. I think I know who it was, and I know him very well right now. And after that, I said on game days I'm not speaking at the morning skate because I don't want to have any distractions, anything bothering me during the day.
Right.
I'll talk after a practice, but after a morning skate. I don't have nothing to say, so no thanks.
I think it's different when you're performing that night. I think that's understandable.
I agree.
You do hear that in all sports where it's like, let's be honest, 95% of athletes still are accessible in those moments, but there are some that are like, listen, Eddie Belfour was famous for that routine. When he was playing that night, leave me alone, I'm doing this, that, or the other. I think people respect that, but... Saying you're done across the board in every other scenario just doesn't ever seem like a fight that's worth picking because it's a fight you're never going to win. John Gibbons turning 55 today on an off day in Seattle.
Give him a shout out.
Could use it. I mean, they dropped 2-3 in Oakland, but last night they needed that. I mean, they had a lead. We were on the air and we didn't really talk about it clearly, but got into extras. Donaldson went deep. Smoke hit 2 again.
Yeah, this guy's on fire.
He is... I got to give him full credit, man.
Like he's an all-star.
At this pace, I mean, I don't see how he won't be considered.
I think so.
And what's going to happen is, like Michael Saunders a year ago, I would think, if he doesn't get in and they need to vote him in, Jays fans, man, do they vote. Because they got the whole country that gets behind this.
Yeah.
They have a voting capacity of 30 million people. Like Saunders
he's
got voted
be an
in.
All-star. He deserves to be an all-star.
He's hitting.
I agree.
He's hitting everything out of the park. His OPS is up over 1,000. Guy's been money for them. And when you consider the way he played in August and September, he went weeks without a hit.
Yeah.
He was completely non-existent. Remember when they signed him to that 2-year deal, and all of us came in, we're like, what are they doing? Why would you sign him at that moment? Obviously,
they saw something.
They saw some potential. No one saw this.
Yeah.
This is where even Ross Atkins can't come out and say, we predicted he would have 18
bombs. No, but they probably said, he's 17, isn't he? But they
17.
But they probably said, we believe in this guy. We think he's got more to give type of thing. They've seen something that they like.
Well, you know what he's done is he's made us kind of forget about Edwin.
Yes.
I don't believe that will be the case by... the end of even the season, let alone in 2 or 3 years. Right. I think at some point over the next couple of years, we're probably going to miss Edwin and look at Smoke and say, okay, the party's over.
But you never know, though. Sometimes a guy just
keeps it rolling,
turns into a star.
He's been around the league for a while.
Well, wasn't Donaldson a late bloomer?
He was, but Donaldson was rare. He got into the league late.
Yeah.
He was a catcher that they converted to third base and then took him a while. But you're right. I mean, Bautista, same thing. Bautista was kicking around for a while.
Late bloomers on this team.
maybe Smoke is the new Bautista.
I don't know.
I misspoke. He's got a 950 OPS.
Okay.
I thought he was up over a grand, but he's
close.
Still, man, 950 OPS. And
he's knocking at the door.
17 bombs for Justin Smoke.
You'll take that.
Full credit. And they're in Seattle tomorrow night. We'll tee that up.
Scotty Mack says that's a bucket list trip. Seattle, Jays in Seattle.
People from BC, they all poured out.
Dude, it's all Jays.
Yeah.
I never watched the Jays there, but I've seen the Mariners play there. That's a real nice building. Seattle's a great city. It really is. I know people from Toronto don't enjoy Vancouver because of the rivalry, but it is, I mean, it's Vancouver South. It's beautiful. It's on the water there. There's lots of things to do. I believe that could support an NHL team there.
Speaking of going to events, why wouldn't the panel, instead of going to U2, why wouldn't they have gone to Cleveland and watched that game?
That would have been a vet move.
You would have had to pay some money.
That's the problem. Lots of money.
Bobby Max got some connections.
Yeah, he could have hooked it up. You guys ready for the 3 stars?
Yes.
Yeah. Overdrive. 3 stars of the day.
You go
first. Go ahead. Me and Noodles.
Oh, really? No. You and Noodles.
No,
anti-stars.
I missed yesterday. Steph's parents' 36th anniversary.
Wow.
Forrest and Morena.
Those are two Italian Canadians, if I've ever heard.
36 years.
36 years.
I believe 36 the number. I sent him a text, but
their second star.
Mulls apparently was getting in my ear to remind me, and I had my earpiece out. So,
all right.
My fault.
Probably a smart move. Hook the in-laws up with a shot.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll throw my in-laws in there too then.
Is it their anniversary?
No, but they're just kicking around. They're kicking
around. We'll throw in our buddy Rizzo from Cleveland.
Yes, Tony R.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah, he was okay.
His hot takes were
a little bit off base. All right, we're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then, and we're going to have some fun.